You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
That it is. Yes, friends. Welcome, 7:02. And it is a joyous night if you're a Met fan, whether it feels like it or not. Yes, it is just that. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN on Twitter, as always, at Chris Carlin. And don't forget the live stream is up and kicking on 98.7 ESPN's Twitter feed and, of course, on ESPN New York's Facebook page. My friends, today is a very good day. You may not feel that way, and I understand it, but Trevor Bauer going to the Los Angeles Dodgers is the best thing that could happen to the New York Mets. Look, I understand the need for more pitching, because there's always a need for more pitching. I understand wanting to bring somebody in who's just not another guy, but someone who you feel like can be exceptional. And Trevor Bauer obviously has that ability. We have seen it before. Have we seen it consistently throughout his career? We have not. But if you are to believe the genius himself, he has figured it all out, and he is God's gift to pitching. All you have to do is read a little bit about Trevor Bauer and some of the features on him from the last few years, and you figure out very quickly, this was not going to be good. First of all, there's the way that he announced his new deal today. Did it on YouTube throughout with an entire lengthy 2.5-minute reveal, extolling his own virtues and extolling the virtues of baseball and what a wonderful sport it is. And then he's flashing up pictures of him in a Mets jersey, of him in a Blue Jays jersey, of him in a Dodgers jersey. All of it's going through. And finally, in the last 20 seconds or so.
The last season doesn't matter anymore. Come April, what matters is this team, this group of players, this group of fans, and the name across our chests. This season is about making sure history remembers us as we wish to be remembered. This season is about adding to our legacy. And I can't wait, Dodger fans.
Yeah, okay. You can't actually put out and produce a 2.5-minute highlight video of yourself and then say it's about the name on the front of the jersey. How much more full of absolute crap can you be? Let's talk about this from a practical standpoint. On the field, Trevor Bauer, prior to 2020, had a career ERA of 4.09 and a whip near 1.3. Now, those are middle of the rotation toward back of the rotation numbers. They are serviceable. You're going to pay $40 million for serviceable in year one. In no way are you going to do that. 2020 was one-third of a season. One-third of a season. He made 11 starts and won a Cy Young. Am I supposed to take it seriously when I look at the rest of his career, when he had one other really good year? No, I don't take that seriously. In the postseason, was Trevor Bauer great? Absolutely not. His ERA in the postseason lies. And Yankee fans, you remember that. 2017, Game 4, ALDS. Indians had a chance to wrap it up. Second inning, one error. Opens up the floodgates. Bauer never recovers. Gives up 4 runs in that second inning. You're off and running, and you're out of the ALDS and headed for the ALCS. Tanked. Tanked. 1-4 in 7 postseason lifetime starts. Other problems. Off the field. Had to come out of a game in the postseason because he hurt himself operating a drone. Had to be pulled after those 21 pitches. Remember when he threw the ball over the center field wall in frustration? And Terry Francona looked at him and said, what the blank are you doing? I went back. There was a feature in Sports Illustrated in 2019 about Trevor Bauer. I will tweet it out. I did earlier today. Really take a look if you're upset about the Mets not getting Bauer. And you will figure out that this is a good thing. Let me give you just a couple of random quotes. Don't worry about them being taken out of context because, frankly, doesn't matter. At one point said, I'm good at two things in this world, throwing baseballs and pissing people off. Bauer has a reputation as a troublesome teammate. This is from the article. Some members of his organization have griped that the clubhouse consists of 24 plus Trevor and says one player, I think Trevor cares about Trevor an awful lot. You can go through and read the entire piece because I'm leaving some pretty significant parts out of it that are not exactly flattering to who Trevor Bauer is. This is not your headache, and this would have been a headache. Why would you go and hand that kind of money to someone that has not proven it consistently in his career and someone that can be absolutely perceived as not a good teammate? I know they went to Lindor and asked him. He was okay with it. I think about how is this guy going to be if things are bad? Does he feel like somebody that you want in the foxhole with you when things aren't going right? Absolutely not. And then his agent later tweets out, Met fans, we have nothing but love for you. Shut up. Shut up. You may not love us anymore, but we love you. Good for you. Agents shouldn't be tweeting at Met fans. Stop it. Not when you're blowing them off and going somewhere else. It's not your job. I have to tell you, this is the best thing that could happen to the Mets because it gives them an opportunity to take some of that money and go do other things with it. Even if they want to stay under the luxury tax threshold for this coming season, they still have roughly $30 million to spend without moving anybody else. You know what the Mets need? Depth. That's what the Mets need. And there are moves to make that we will talk about throughout the course of the next few hours that would absolutely put them in the position that would be a winning one. And while I know that you may not feel like you have the best rotation in baseball right now, I'm here to tell you that's okay. If you do the right things from here on, that's okay. And you notice I didn't even mention the fact that this is someone who actively trolled people on Twitter, including the Met fans with that little video, but who actively trolled people on Twitter and sicked his 114,000 followers on a young college girl who dared to say that she didn't like him and other people over the years as well. I get the sob stories about how he was bullied as a kid. Okay, don't turn around and bully people on Twitter and things like that. There's one thing to be answering back to fans, but like, if you're this genius, you should understand that Twitter can be a cesspool. And you don't need to read it, and you don't need to respond to every little negative comment. Go to LA, do your thing there with a team that was lauded for having an amazing clubhouse, and let's see how it works out. $40 million in year one, his opt-out. $45 million in year two, his opt-out. Can you imagine if that goes poorly in year one and the Dodgers are on the hook for $45 million in year two when they'd probably rather not be? Could have been you. Be glad it's not. tweet me at Twitter or at Chris Carlin. I mean, I could, you know, stand to hear from you there. Let's start with Pete in Queens tonight. Pete, welcome, hey, my friend. You're on Carlin, 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hi, Pete, I'm fantastic. How are you?
Not bad. You know, I'm also not jumping off a ledge over Bauer, but I'm just confused with the Mets' strategy. Like, I understand we're going after Springer in the beginning, then we back out last second because we want to save some reserve money so we can make trades at the deadline. Then we're going all in after Bauer. We lose out on him. So now is the move going to be to overpay Jackie Bradley to be our nine hitter? Like, I just don't get what their logic is. Like,
well,
what do you think?
I think the logic is this. They were trying to take a guy that clearly Sandy liked a little bit, but I think the owner liked a whole lot more, and add him and really make it a dominant group. And when you got Syndergaard back come June or July, if everybody's healthy, you would have been the best rotation in baseball. But even if everybody's not healthy, it would have been something to behold nonetheless. But with Bauer, to me, it was always a mistake because it's somebody that has done some good things in his career, but not somebody that you absolutely look at and say, he's going to be the guy for us and get it done. So I think the plan now, Pete, if I'm the Mets, and I don't know this for sure, I wouldn't hand Jackie Bradley $50 million, okay? But I would go and talk to Jackie Bradley. Because what's he going to do? He's going to make my other pitchers better with great defense in center field.
That's true. I agree. I just hope we do something. I was hoping to upgrade the bullpen. I thought that was the real glaring weakness, but I guess not.
But, I mean, look at it this way. You are kind of upgrading the bullpen with the way the rotation is, even if you add another pitcher in the rotation. Thanks for the call. Because that means Seth Lugo is definitively going to be in the bullpen. You know, and he probably was anyway. But we all know that's where the Mets are best served. Diego is in Queens, and he is next on 98.7 ESPN. Diego, what's going on?
What's up, Chris? How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. By the way, congratulations on your award. I haven't had a chance to call in.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Chris, let me tell you this. Why are New Yorkers the way they are? And this is what I mean. I promise you, I knew this would happen. I knew if we got Bauer, we would be praising him right now, talking about how we have like the last three Cy Young Award winners and this and that. But now that he's on the other side, of course we're gonna find any little way to bash him. My question to you is, honestly, does it not bother you that we didn't get him? Because if we got him, I think we're in the World Series, guaranteed.
No. I don't think that's a guarantee. I don't. I have always been anti this move from the get-go. I really have. Because I just think that when you look at the totality of his work, it's a year and a half. It's 40 starts out of 200 in his career. And to me, that's not somebody who has figured out being a dominant pitcher. That's somebody who in 2018... had a pretty good year. In 2019, really didn't have a great year, even in the midst of getting traded. And in 2020, in a season where he made 11 starts, he was fantastic against the National League Central and the American League Central. Okay.
Did we not just hand the Dodgers?
I'm not going to strip him of his Cy Young Award, but let the Dodgers go spend that kind of money on him. That's fine. The Dodgers, another big part of why the Dodgers won was that they had a fantastic clubhouse. And I'm telling you right now, that clubhouse takes a major hit when you put Trevor Bauer in there and you take out what you've got in Justin Turner. It immediately makes it worse, Diego. Thanks for the call. It puts you in a position where other guys are not going to like the dynamic that Trevor Bauer brings. I mean, even he's talking about in the article I told you about a little while ago that I tweeted earlier, and I'm going to retweet right now. It was in Sports Illustrated. And it was basically just detailing what he has been about in his career. And it tells you everything you need to know. He tweeted at somebody else a year or two ago when they're arguing back and forth just on his own. Newsflash, I was better than Corey Kluber. And Kluber won the Cy Young. I mean, yeah, but listen, you can be whatever you want to be. And Trevor Bauer got his money. But I don't think Trevor Bauer, his production overall for his career, comes close to anything anybody else has done consistently when you talk about great pitchers in the game. He's not the guy that immediately comes to mind. The Mets were willing to overpay him, but I give them credit only to a point. A $40 million point, but still, I give them credit. Jason in New Jersey next, 98.7 ESPN. Jay, what's up, dude?
Mr. Big Shot Chris, how are you?
That's right. Good. How you doing?
Listen, what am I missing here? First of all, I'm not a Mets fan, but most important, I'm a baseball fan. So apparently I'm missing something, because who is Trevor Bauer? This guy probably over in 100 starts had probably 10 wins over 500. He is not your guy that says, like, this guy is my number one. He's going to be a horse, and he's going to go out and pitch 230 innings. What am I missing, Chris?
It's the fact that he had a 2-2 ERA in 2018, and this year he won the Cy Young Award over 11 starts. That's what everybody is looking at. And frankly, Trevor Bauer, with his training methods that are supposed to be so brilliant and the analytics, they're all going to tell you, well, we're paying him for what we're projecting him to do. Okay, that's fine,
Chris,
but I don't want to pay a guy when I'm projecting him to do it when he hasn't done it consistently before.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Before this season, and of course a shortened season, this guy, his ERA was at least over four. So he's not a Pedro Martinez. He's not – I'll even take Zach Greinke over this guy. When he went to Cincinnati, he wasn't even that good in his few starts. And we're talking about a change from the American League to a weaker National League. So I'm missing the point here. I'm glad that the Mets didn't give him all this money, because $40 million, I'm sorry, you're not worth $40 million. You have to go out and give me 250 innings.
Well, 250 innings doesn't happen anymore. Thanks for the call, Jason. 200 innings, if things go right, that's when it happens. But you don't look at Bauer. I don't even know if Bauer's thrown 200 innings in his career. I don't think he has. I'm going to look real quick. Which made me think of that. Bauer career stats on the Google. Let's see. He has thrown 200 innings once. In 2019, he threw 213 innings. Once. Now that's, I mean, unfortunately, the way things are in baseball right now, that's not nearly as much of a thing as it used to be. Like, to be fair to Bauer, I'm going to go look at the pitchers from 2019 and see how many pitchers were over 200 innings that year. But I think overall, it's not fair to say that to Bauer when it's not necessarily a thing anymore. Let me see here. Innings pitched. Well, there were at least 10 in 2019. DeGrom was 10th with 204 innings, so there might have been one or two beneath him. I don't have the full list there. Sam in San Antonio. Sam, what's up, baby?
What's going on, my brother? Hey, congratulations on the award, man. Well-deserved.
I appreciate it. You know, a lot of folks have said that it's really not a big deal, but thank you.
Can I make a guess? I love him. I don't mean to want to throw him under the bus. I listen to him every day since 1947. I'm going to take a guess that maybe Michael Kay was one of those that was downplaying it.
Downplaying what? My award?
Yeah, your award.
No. I'm downplaying my award. Michael said it about 15 times on the air. The one thing that you need to know about Michael is incredibly supportive. It's when you're, especially to most people, unless you're on the laminated list, and He backs you up. He's like, if you're on his team, you're on his team.
I love Michael Kay. I love him.
It doesn't
sound like. I said that more along the lines of he likes to just cause a ruffle just to be.
Oh
fun.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't mean that in any wrong way.
Yeah. He'll compliment me in the midst of calling me fat, so that's all right.
See, there you go. You know exactly what I mean, my friend. But congratulations, nonetheless. Well, like I said, well deserved. The point that I wanted to make about the whole Trevor Bauer thing, I'm on the side of thank God he didn't sign with the Mets. So to all the Mets fans that are out there that are potentially upset about this, I want to ask them a question. Do you guys know who Jake Odorizzi is? Probably not, because he's not that big name that Bauer is right now out there. And Bauer's name is big. Really, for the wrong reasons, for everything you just laid out in your intro. Do me a favor, Chris, when you get a moment, look up Odorizzi's number and compare it to Bauer.
Well, I can give it to you right now, in fact, because I was going to get to that here in just a few minutes.
Okay,
but here's what it is. I'll tell you exactly what it is. I'll tell you exactly
what it is. And get Jackie Bradley.
Jake Odorizzi's
small moves
number
that you're saying, just I agree. A legitimate center fielder makes all of your average or subpar average pitchers that much better. How many games did we see DeGrom lose last year because he gave up two unearned runs?
Yeah, listen, they need to score more runs for him, Sam, and thanks for the call. But at the same time, you also need to know that it's not the end of the world that you didn't get him. And to your point, which I was going to get to momentarily, but I'll hit it right now. Jake Odorizzi, comparatively speaking, in his career, up against Bauer, the numbers are nearly identical. Odorizzi, 192 starts, 62-56, 3.92 ERA. The numbers slightly above 4 and slightly below 4 through the majority of his career, except for 2020. He had a bad 2020. His whip in his career is 1.24. Bauer, 195 starts, 75-64, 3.90. So he's 0.02 of a point better in ERA than Odorizzi, and his whip is worse at 1.27. Bauer's costing you $40 million a year. Jake Odorizzi might cost you $13. 2 years, $28 million for Odorizzi? I'd do that in a heartbeat. Add Jackie Bradley Jr. into the mix there? Yes. And then talk about depth. Talk about the fact that if you bring Jackie Bradley Jr. in, who over the last 5 years, for you analytics dorks, has been the fourth best defensive center fielder in all of baseball pretty consistently during that stretch. Not a great batting average. He had a good 2020, but I'm not going to put a ton of stock in it. Not a great batting average. Gets on base, or, you know, around 75, 80 points higher than his batting average, can cover a lot of ground. Yeah, he's not a big-time bat, but he is somebody that will absolutely make you much better defensively and save you some runs. He will. So if you do that and you're playing Jackie Bradley every day and you can play Brandon Nimmo as a fourth outfielder and shift him in and out of the lineup, I mean, that gives you depth. That gives you, you add another infield guy. They brought in Jose Martinez. Again, not a great 2020, but through his career offensively, much better than that. Marwin Gonzalez. Dare I say, the Mets actually look at Justin Turner. And right or wrong from several years ago for a year or two. I don't know that he would want to come back. He's a California guy. His first choice is to be with the Dodgers. But I know he liked being a Met and was upset when he was gone. But it turned out for the best for him. I think what you have to look at right now is this gives you an incredible opportunity to add depth to what you're doing. By the way, new YouTube channel is up and just started loading some stuff up. The live stream is there as well. Carlin on ESPN. There will be highlights and clips and stuff from every show and some original content next week. Got a lot of Knicks and Rangers, so unfortunately do not have any night shows next week. But we're going to do some things on there. We're going to do some Instagram Lives, including, by the way, 6 o'clock on Sunday on ESPN 98.7's Instagram page. We're going to do a little IG Live 6 o'clock on Sunday, right before the game, to get you pumped up and ready to go for that. So I'm looking forward to that. In the meantime, Hector is in New Jersey. Up next, 98.7 ESPN. Hector, what's going on?
What's going on, Chris? How you doing?
I'm great, baby. How you doing?
All right. I'm excited that they didn't sign Bauer. You know, I don't understand this love affair with him. You know, signing him $40 million. The starting rotation, if they would have signed him, the starting rotation would have been like $80 million. That makes no sense. When we, like you talked about, you know, we need depth. We need a center fielder. We need backups. You know, we got to fill the bench. I mean, we got other gaps than the starting rotation. I mean, I think we're good enough with DeGrom and when we get Syndergaard back. And, you know, we got Cookie also. I mean, hopefully he stays healthy. But signing Bauer for somebody that had maybe two good seasons, and one of them was a shortened season. Yeah, he won the Cy One, but on the shortened season. I'm sorry, I don't think that would have been a good sign. Not for $40 million.
I don't either. I never liked it. And it's not just because of the production. It's because of the production and the headache. Trevor Bauer can be a real headache. He's somebody that is really concerned about himself first and foremost. And look, I get that. But, like, think about how ridiculous it is. Listen to this again. Think about how ridiculous this is. And thanks for the call. How ridiculous it is to put out a 2.5-minute YouTube video to announce where you're going, which the last time I checked, the only guys who do that is, you know, kids who are being heavily recruited and are in high school. That's who does that. Who are going to colleges. That's who does that. Not professional athletes. Come on. But you put out your own YouTube video, and then you have the gall at the end of it to say something like he does right in the middle here.
The last season doesn't matter anymore. Come April, what matters is this team, this group of players, this group of fans, and the name across our chests.
All right, shut up. Shut up! No, it doesn't have to do with anything about the name across the chest. You are worried about the name across the back. When you put out a video like that, which in essence shows all the different jerseys of the different teams that wanted you with the name Bauer on the back, you're trolling the teams that you didn't go to. That is high school crap. That's like putting all the hats on the desk when the high school kid signs to where he's going to college. It's a high school kid. He can do that. You're a man, supposedly, grown adult. And you're doing this. You know why? Trevor Bauer is worried about his brand. I'm so sick of that word. Brand. All it is another word for worried about yourself. The $40 million didn't cover it for yourself enough. Didn't cover it enough. Now it's about the Dodgers. Shut up! God, what an utter embarrassment on his part. Tweet back at me for that, clown. Brian in Brentwood is next, 98.7 ESPN. Brian.
What's up? Good night. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good. How are you? Despite how it sounds, I'm actually doing well.
Listen, I'm a Mets fan. I'm definitely happy that we didn't get him. I mean, his career ERA is a 3.91, and Syndergaard's is a 3.31. I am so happy we didn't get him. But one thing I will say, though, I a little bit disagree with you, is that I think it was pretty cool how he was just keeping everybody on edge. I feel like it had everybody really hyped up, and it had everybody paying attention on Twitter. I mean, I was on my phone.
But for a while, it had everybody, and that's fine for like 9-10 hours, and then it got annoying.
You're right, but you know what, man? Baseball is my favorite sport of all time. I love it with all my heart, and I wish it had the attention and the coverage that basketball and football gets. And I think that this was good to it. You know what I mean? Like, get this coverage out there. Make this annoying, if it even has to, just to get some sort of coverage, just because it makes it entertaining. I loved it, but I am really glad that we didn't get him. As a diehard Met fan, I can't wait. I'm very glad that we didn't get him, honestly. Really am.
Good. Well, you're in a good spot then. Thanks for the call. Because overall for the team, this is going to be better if they take that money and spend it somewhere else. That's where they're going to be better. If you take that money and invest it in a better defensive center fielder, if you take that money and invest it in another starting pitcher who is not that far behind him, and frankly, if you take him out of the American League and put him in the National League, where at the moment there's still no universal DH, maybe Jake Odorizzi pitches even better when you still have the pitcher batting in the lineup. So far, that hasn't been changed. Who knows? Maybe it will be. There was one really alarming aspect to this, and I think it flies a little bit under the radar. For breaking news, I'm Kevin Durant.
Breaking news.
He's not playing, or he is playing tonight. He didn't start. They pulled him from the lineup because of COVID protocol, and apparently he got cleared. And he came off the bench. So Durant is playing. Now, I haven't seen here. I don't believe Jeff Green is playing. He was the other one who was pulled from the lineup. So Durant, for the first time in his career, apparently, came off the bench, which is, you know, pretty remarkable in and of itself. But that's the reason why. And it doesn't, we don't believe he had a false positive or anything like that. I'm trying to do a little bit of digging to find out exactly what happened. I haven't seen on Twitter if they have actually said what happened. So, you know, I can always, and by digging into my intricate network of sources, it's just that. Let's see what they're saying on the, over on the Twitter. Let's see. Woj said just a little while ago, will not be available to start tonight's game due to health and safety protocols. Further updates will be available. So he couldn't start. But he is out there. So we haven't gotten any of the specific details, but I think it has to do with, you know, whether it's contact tracing or something along those lines. Here's the bottom line. Durant is out there, and he is playing in this game. The Nets, by the way, are losing at last check. But just going to double check on Jeff Green. He has played in the game. So not sure who it is. We'll see. 800-919-3776. It is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. We have had some gentlemen who have been exceptionally patient. So let us go to those calls, shall we? First of all, it's our guy Spike in Jersey. Hello, Spike.
Good evening, my friend. They're both playing. I was listening to the interview with Andy, which was excellent. And the next thing they had their arm around each other, and yeah. I don't know what couldn't listen to it, but they might have just taken one of those quick tests, you know, and they cleared them. But who knows with this whole thing? Meanwhile, they play no defense, no matter who's on the floor.
And we'll talk that's about a problem, that, and I've detailed that quite a bit. Yeah, there's 4.5 minutes left in the second quarter, and they've given up 58 points.
Yeah. I wanted to call you tonight, especially after I heard or looked at the schedule with the hockey and the basketball. That's always a bit of a miss when you're not wrong, but I understand the schedule. So I wanted to go bet the over in the game, but you can't win them all, and who knows if that'll happen. So two quick things. Rutgers looks like they're back in the mix for the tournament. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. They've won 4 in a row. They're playing much better. Listen, they need to continue to play well, but they absolutely look like they have gotten out of a rut that they were in. And I like that they didn't even play their best last night and still found a way to win.
Absolutely. That's a great sign. And just for a little levity and a good laugh, you get this. Some of the people listening won't. So Brian gets on the phone, and I said to him, well, you must feel good about Bauer. And, you know, my joke was if the headline came out and it said New York gets Bauer, I was going back 75 years and maybe it was Hank Bauer. I mean, you'll get it because you know who it is. But the truth is, you can't pay that guy that kind of money. It's ridiculous. I heard it's bigger than, I think Kay said it, it's bigger than the whole Pirate payroll.
Yeah, I mean, that's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. Even suggesting giving him that kind of money is absolutely absurd, Spike. Thanks for the call. If you're going to pay him that amount of money, and the Dodgers are giving him $85 million in the first 2 years of the deal, $85 million? Just imagine if Bauer goes out there this year and has an awful season. Imagine if he pitches to an ERA of 4.75. Like, that's not what you're signing up for when you shell out that kind of money. It's just not. Sal's in Valley Stream next, 98.7 ESPN.
Oh,
Sal.
Hello? Oh, hey.
Hi, Sal.
Hi again. Hello again. I want to, get in a little bit about the Mets, what they need to do next year.
What do you think that is, Sal?
I don't know. I was listening into Craig and Craig Carton and Evan Roberts.
I don't really care if you were listening to them. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to say?
I want to chat about, Ed Coleman was on with them. He was talking about the Mets with them.
And Sal, it's another station. I don't care what they're saying.
I know, Chris, but, and that's all. The Mets need a lot of defense to improve this year. They need a lot of hitters to come in, and, that's all. But Chris,
brilliant point, Sal. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate it as always. Come on, dude. You're better than that. I love Eddie. Eddie's my guy. And, listen, those guys, they're doing their thing. Love Evan. Craig, always gotten along with them. All good. But I don't really care what they were saying on their show. My thing here is this. If you're the Mets and you're in this position right now, what do you have to do? You have to go and make the rest of this team better by adding the depth. Now, Jackie Bradley Jr., 5 years, $75 million, pass, hard pass. If he's looking for $15 million a year and 5 years of it, Godspeed. Go get it somewhere else. Then it's not worth it. Okay, that's a ridiculous number. And if you're talking about the other guys, I myself would be looking a lot more at Odorizzi than Jake Arrieta. Jake Arrieta was a disaster in Philadelphia. A disaster. And says things like he said about putting a dent in Todd Frazier's head. Remember that? These are, two areas that present a problem for me with Arrieta. Not good in the clubhouse. And by the way, not very good in Philadelphia. I just want to look up his numbers while we're talking about it. But that surprised me a little bit to hear Andy bring up Jake Arrieta. I didn't mean to get chippy with Sal. I mean, listen, I love those guys. But, competition now. So as much as I love them, I want to kick their ass. And it's what it is. Not that I'm up against them. Michael's taking care of that. Let's see. Yeah. Arrieta is 3 years in Philadelphia, 4.36, and his record was 22-23. His whip was 1.4. Pass, pass, pass. 800-919-3776. Open lines. We get to you in short order. We also get to the Super Bowl. A few different aspects of it. Number one, who's going to win? One final lock of incompetence that we will get to. And we also will tell you why somebody is actually going to win the game, why the Bucs are actually going to win the game, and why I believe in them more than the Chiefs right now. As much as it kills me to root for Brady. I got my Super Bowl boxes today, and they are absolutely freaking brutal. They are just, I couldn't get worse numbers than I got. And I'm in a pool where it's expensive. It's not, 10 grand a box, but it's it's 250 a box. And I don't gamble very much. I gamble a little bit. I do on FanDuel with the football and stuff like that, but not big money. This is probably the biggest thing in the year that I would actually do. And the numbers that I got for the box are just so atrocious. He changes them at halftime, which he did in the guy who runs this particular one, because You had the 13-3 mess a couple of years ago where whoever had 3-3 basically won the entire game in the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl. But, I mean, listen to this. I've got Chiefs 4, Buccaneers 9, Chiefs 9, Buccaneers 8. Come on. You're killing me. In first and second half, I got no shot right there. I got no shot. Anyway, we will also get to the one player on Sunday that Jet fans need to be paying attention to. Need to be paying attention to. I really don't have a choice anymore, do I, Jacob?
I don't like this.
Brian, I hate you guys.
Well, this is not my idea. This is all Jacob's fault. He's in a boy band kind of mood. I don't know.
Apparently. And the problem is now you're getting me into a boy band kind of mood, and I'm going to be listening to this all weekend long. That's the problem with boy bands. As much as I want to hate them, they have some good music. And they have the music that actually just sticks in your head, and you cannot shake it for days. Days! Super Bowl 55. All right. Number one, let's get it out of the way. Locks of incompetence. Let us fire up the sounder for the final locks of incompetence of the year. Hit it.
He's tried everything. Analysis. Instinct. Facts. Coin flips. Magic eight balls. Scientology. If picking NFL games is right, you can count on him to be wrong. It's time for Carlin's Locks of Incompetence.
That's right. That's right, friends. 21-18 this season on the Locks of Incompetence. That is a winning record, and it is now guaranteed. Who would have thought? But, yes, here we are. Sunday, Tampa, Florida. The Kansas City Chiefs, 3.5-point favorites over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Did you know that the healing mineral waters of Safety Harbor in Tampa were once thought to be the fountain of youth? Bucks plus 3.5. Your final lack of incompetence for the 2020-2021 football season. You're welcome, friends. Here's the problem. While I did pick it that way, I actually do really believe in the Buccaneers in this game. I've got the Bucs 34-30, and Brady is the MVP. And the truth is a couple of things. We can bring the music down as the stupid part of the pick is over with on my part. And now here comes the real stupidity of me actually trying to break it down like a fraction. All right, the Chiefs won the first matchup 27-24. And these two quarterbacks went off on one another. You had Mahomes throw for 450. You had Brady throw for nearly 350. And Tyreek Hill went nuts. They had no answer for him. 13 catches for 269 and 3 touchdowns. Kelce, 8 for 82. And on the flip side, Gronk had a big game. Godwin had a big game. Here's one thing, though. that I think is going to make the difference in this game. You know, so much talk about Spagnuolo and what he did with the Giants and being able to do that to Brady again. I don't think that that's necessarily going to be the case because, you know, number one, while they have very good players to rush the quarterback, you know, they only sacked Brady once last time. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Number two, the Bucs' offensive line, I really feel like is outstanding. And I'm not breaking any ground there. It is outstanding. In some ways, underrated in a game like this. And I feel like if these two teams played 10 times, each would win five. And the majority of them would be less than a touchdown games. So I've got the Bucs 34-30 because I do think that they have a chance if they can sack Mahomes a couple of times to make a big play or two out of it. Now, with that in mind, and I think Brady, just because here he is again, will absolutely do it again and will want to do it again to prove that he can do it without Bill. I think Mahomes and the Chiefs this year, they're an outstanding team. Don't get me wrong. But there have just been times where I look at them and they don't feel like they're as dominant as they were last year. And they have the ability to flip a switch. There's no question. But for whatever reason, I just think in a game like this, it's going to come down to one person making a play. And I think somebody in the Bucs defense is going to make a play, whether it's a sack, strip sack, something like that. All right. A couple of really interesting Super Bowl prop bets, okay? I'm not talking about over-under on the anthem. I used to go with that years ago before the Giants and the Ravens Super Bowl in Tampa. I was in the building in the morning producing Mike's Sunday morning show. And I was there while they were rehearsing the anthem. And for some reason, I was too stupid to take out, like, you know, it was relatively new to cell phones. They didn't have a stopwatch on them. But I didn't, like, look at my watch and try to time how long the anthem was, and then get it back to somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody for the over-under, right? Now, it would have been a lot different with FanDuel. But, unfortunately, didn't work out. We're not doing those kinds of things. I got a couple that are just fun, interesting, I kind of dig, okay? Number one, the last play of the game is not a kneel down. The answer to that, whether it's a kneel down or not, if you say it's not going to be a kneel down, it's plus 140. And it's minus whatever it is. It's obviously favored to be a kneeling play. I kind of like plus 140 there. That's a little bit of value for me. Number two, even though I said that Brady was going to be the MVP, Brady versus Mahomes, Brady to throw the first interception of the game is plus 240. I mean, Brady's been prone to some picks this offseason, or this postseason. Can we agree? So I would say plus 240, Brady to throw the first INT. This is all on FanDuel, by the way. Not bad value right there. Here's an interesting one. You're going to say, what are you, nuts? Well, with these two guys, I'm not. As we know, Steve Young threw six touchdowns in the rout of the San Diego Chargers in Super Bowl 29, I believe that was. For a quarterback in this game to throw six touchdowns is plus 1,000. Couldn't you see that happening one way or the other? I mean, we all assume that this is going to be a game that's going to go over, right? Couldn't we all see that happening? Absolutely could. So with that in mind, Maybe I throw 10 bucks on that. And then these two, I think, are tremendous value. Okay, last two. Player to get the first sack in the game. Shaq Barrett, plus 550. JPP, plus 650. First sack in the game, plus 650 for JPP. Oh, I like that a lot. I like it a lot. Yeah. All right, so there are your Super Bowl prop bets from me. And, of course, Anita will have more later on the weekend wager coming up in just a little bit. 800-919-3776. We will step aside. We will return to the phones. We will talk more about Trevor Bauer. We will talk more about Super Bowl 55, which, by the way, we'll have a little pregame there on Sunday between 11 and 12:30 prior to Knicks Heat right here on 98.7 ESPN. I'll also be on tomorrow on the national side from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, and a lot of that will be here on 98.7 ESPN as well. So as much as you may not get me this week, next week, you're going to get a whole big dose of me this weekend, in addition to an Instagram Live that we will do at 6 p.m. on Sunday on 98.7's Instagram page. So, yeah, we will do that 6 p.m. Sunday right before the games and have a little bit of fun there, get some last thoughts in before the game. I do want to hit this real quick because it's a very sad story. The son of Andy Reid, Britt Reid, was involved in an accident. Now, he's an assistant coach on the Chiefs staff. This is from Diana Rossini, of course, ESPN's NFL insider, does an outstanding job. And Diana says that Kansas City police tell me as of now no charges have been brought against Britt Reid, but say that driver impairment is under investigation. Reid will not travel to Tampa on Saturday. He's currently in the hospital with undisclosed injuries and could be hospitalized for days, according to sources. Diana said that she was told if there are charges in the case involving him, they will not be until after the Super Bowl, sometime next week, as part of normal investigative timeline, including the time it takes for blood toxicology results. Britt Reid is the outside linebackers coach. So you hope that he's okay. And, of course, the Reid family has been through it. Andy lost a son to an overdose years ago during training camp. And, you know, they've had more than their share of trials and tribulations. So you keep a good thought for them right now. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. It's Carlin right here on 98.7 ESPN. Trevor Bauer decided to go to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And my friends, that is a very, very, very good thing.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.